Since the 1990s, Army Knowledge Online has been the main web portal soldiers use to access training materials, check their email, and log on to internal websites. But as the Army has migrated its IT functions to DoD-wide services like enterprise email, we've heard rumblings of possibly finally shutting down AKO. Now there's word that the service will live on in a modernized form. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about it in this week's edition of Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook. And Jared, this one is really a classic. That was like the eGov version of Army.
You bet. Yeah. And we did think this was a fairly significant development when we heard about it last week, mainly because AKO, as you suggest, as a brand, is probably just about the most well-known IT product in the whole Defense Department. One, because it's been around a long time, and the thing it was most famous for and most used for the longest time was giving soldiers an email address that moved around, you know, with them as they deployed and changed assignments, rather than, you know, these base specific subdomains, because the Army comes from this history of very decentralized IT. Well, when the Army moved to DISA Enterprise Email a couple years ago, that functionality went away, and a lot of people basically assumed that AKO was dead as a result of that. But the CIO's office and other folks have now decided there are some functions that really do need to live on. So one example is single sign-on. So AKO also serves as a portal where you can log in with your common access card if you're a soldier or Army civilian, and in some cases a username and a password to get access to a whole bunch of internal Army websites, rather than having to remember login credentials for every place you go and all those sites having to run their own authentication infrastructure. There are about 600 sites that use that single sign-on capability, so they've decided it makes some sense to modernize that and keep it alive. Another one is file storage. So one of the things AKO provides and has for a long time is a service that's kind of like Dropbox, but inside the Army firewall. Tom Neff is the project director for enterprise services in the Army's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. They're running the AKO modernization effort, and he describes some of the thinking behind the file storage capability.
That's one of their main collaboration platforms that, you know, units and individual soldiers can store something as simple but as meaningful to a soldier as my pay record. Where do I save it? Because I'm not somebody who's a typical office automation user. I don't have a laptop that's issued to me. I'm borrowing something on a kiosk. I need to save something somewhere, essentially in an RB private cloud concept, that I can get to from no matter what computer I may be using. So we're seeing an enduring use in the Army, and that's going to continue forward in the future with AKO. What we're seeing the migration is when AKO was something that had five nines of reliability that needed to be provided, that's no longer the case. We've replaced very expensive high-end storage with commodity storage, saving the Army millions of dollars, providing very similar storage bought as a service, so stopping the investment in AKO as a program of record.
Again, that's Tom Neff from the Army Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. So again, Tom, sounds like some of these services are going to stick around in some form, but hopefully at lower cost. The one thing they haven't really settled on yet is whether the AKO brand continues. It would seem to make some sense to keep it alive since it is so well known and has provided fairly reliable services for so many years, but that's still an open question.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, and I wanted to also ask you while we have you now about another item in the notebook, and you said for the first time in Air Force history, enlisted pilots take flight. I guess people thought that, not knowing the insides of the whole military establishment, that lots of enlisted people flew planes, but it's only been officers.
Yeah, it's been that way in the Air Force since they became a separate service in 1947, and they're different from, for example, the Army, which has used warrant officers to fly their aviation fleet. But it's been just officers in the Air Force for their entire history. What's changing really is that they've just had incredible shortages of pilots, mainly in their drone force or remotely piloted aircraft, as they prefer to call them. So they're beginning to roll out very cautiously enlisted pilots into that force. And the reason that they took flight, as you said, is that, you know, even if your only job for the rest of your aviation career, even if that only position is going to be flying unmanned aircraft, it's still Air Force policy that you must learn to fly in a real airplane, for lack of a better word. To man the aircraft yourself is probably a better way to put it. So last week, We had two airmen fly their first solo flights in a single engine, what's called a DA-20, which is just a small trainer aircraft that they use at Pueblo, Colorado to do their initial qualification training for all pilots. This is just the first phase. These two pilots who are both enlisted and have a lot of experience in other elements of the remotely piloted aircraft force, just not as pilots. They've got about another year of training ahead of them before they move on and actually become the first enlisted drone pilots in the Air Force's history. And then there's about another 10 people behind them in the training pipeline before the Air Force decides whether or not it's comfortable with this approach and potentially ramps it up in a big way.
Well, if you walk along the hallowed pathways of the Naval Academy, there's a whole bunch of sailboats lined up. So presumably they still teach plebes how to sail. I guess maybe learning how to fly a real airplane does have some application, even if you're not in the plane, that you actually end up flying.
Yeah, indeed. And we should point out that this is not completely unprecedented. Back before there was a separate U.S. Air Force during the World War II era, there were actually enlisted pilots to some degree in what was then the Army Air Corps. So there is some history and some precedent for this.
But nobody headed to piloting, say, the new B-21 when that comes out to be tested.
Probably unlikely. They're going to want some pretty highly trained and educated folks in those multi-billion dollar platforms. Yeah.
So basically, this is a way to fill out those drone forces, which they have said and been warning for a couple of years now that we just don't have the bodies we need for the demand that we have for the drone capabilities.
Yeah, part of it is people and part of it is platforms. They're building these things really as quickly as they can, but that the pilots they have are just stretched very, very thinly. And one consequence of that is people get out because the op tempo is just not very desirable. So, and that's actually true both in the unmanned and in the manned platform. So they've begun, you know, doing things like pretty healthy retention bonuses to try and get after part of that problem. But to some degree, yeah, it is just sheer numbers. So they're starting with the global Hawk, which is an unarmed platform, and they may ramp it up from there to platforms that actually carry weapons, but there's not really even been any discussion of that so far anyway.
The old model was, you know, you learn to fly in the Air Force and then afterwards you could get an airline job. It seems that maybe this ability to fly drones is also a contemporary version of that, because as the whole unmanned aircraft industry takes place in the industrial complex, this could be a great career path for people.
It's a really great point. And as you say, that's where a lot of these pilots who are used to running manned platforms are going because of the high op tempo. They're leaving because the commercial airline industry is hiring in very large numbers right now. But for the moment, yeah, there's no direct one-to-one map from an unmanned, a military unmanned platform to a commercial one. But as you kind of suggest, that's probably going to change in the next few years. So, yeah, it's the Air Force is probably going to, as they say, be training a lot of drone pilots for the commercial aviation industry, too.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks for that update.
You bet.
Be sure to read his DoD reporter's notebook online now at federalnewsradio.com.